get up, get up, get up. Oh boy. All right. Welcome back, Mets fans, to another episode of the Mets Up Podcast. This is an episode that we were dreading making. Not too excited about this one, but obviously with what's been going on in Mets world, I know we had been, you know, a little MIA for a little bit, but you guys heard in the last episode, hopefully, about why. Carlos Correa. We can say his name. Beetlejuice is now allowed to be spoken about on the podcast, but for all the wrong reasons. I wish we could be a little bit more excited about this. But yeah, obviously Carlos Correa has now signed with the Minnesota Twins. The Mets were involved. The Mets have gone back and forth. We're going to talk about that on today's episode of the podcast, as well as what this means for the Mets moving forward, what to expect. And, you know, it's still me and James. We're going to talk about a random reliever that just got DFA'd and why we think he fits on this roster. So hopefully you guys are enjoying this. Maybe a little bit of a therapy session, a little bit of a debriefing, a little bit of copium, as they like to say. The kids online like to say, taking some copium. But, you know, we're going to be talking a little bit about Mets baseball today and all the stuff that we haven't really been able to talk about recently. So thank you guys so much for coming around. Make sure you are following us on all our social media at Mets Up on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. YouTube video will be on the New York Mets channel. And if you're listening to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, drop us a rating, drop us a review, download and subscribe. James, me and you, we've obviously been talking for a while. We're good friends, but share with the people. How are you feeling? Initial reaction.
It sucks. It's sad. Like, we thought for a long time, not even like us, like Mark and I, like the collective we, like all Mets fans out there, thought that Carlos Correa would be on this team, and then now it just hasn't happened. And it's the third team that he allegedly assigned with in the offseason. This time it looks like it's going to stick, and it's just sad because you thought this was going to be a moment where like we could just flex on the rest of the league, and it didn't wind up happening. Whatever reason that may be, that is the truth. That's the world we live in now. And this is, you just hope that it doesn't, like, people don't fixate too much on what just happened, because we had such an incredible month before this happened and like an amazing offseason of all intents and purposes. And now the one move that was like the cherry on top, that's not there anymore. And that ruins the entire Sunday. You don't want that to be, you know?
No, I think that's completely fair, because like, really, the Mets had a great offseason. They did a lot of really, really good things. And it's, I think we've spoke about this before, just like the series of events that happened. Like, if this happened at the start of the offseason and the Mets did the rest, you'd have a lot different feel than what it is right now, with the offseason essentially coming to an end with Carlos Correa now going to a different team. But I mean, we know what you guys know. We're obviously on Twitter. We're obviously following along. You know, my job is baseball, everything baseball related on content side. James, super into baseball, been writing, doing, you know, work for his companies as well. Like, we're super, super connected. So everything that you guys see, we see as well. And it just, you kind of understand maybe why things went the way that they did. It was just, it felt like it might've been a little bit tough to continue on. And I mean, to Carlos Correa, he still got money. He still got paid by the Twins. And I think the Mets being there just made it hurt a little bit more, but also at the same regard, like you said, James, it's the cherry on top. It was 100% the cherry on top of what was a good offseason for this team.
It's also like, just thinking about the timeline, and we can divulge in that a little bit more now that we're allowed to say Carlos Correa's name again, because we talked to you guys for a very long time. And Marlos Morea, Jarlos Jarea. Just like you guys, we woke up or just were up late at night in a December evening or morning, and we're like, oh my God, I can't believe this just happened. And it was like the euphoria, like the shock, like the absolute unbelievableness of it all. And we were jacked up. Like, it was a really cool thing, and thought it was going to be a big addition to the team, a power bat, a third baseman, things that would have been helpful, things that would have made one of the best teams in baseball better. Like, both those things are true. The Mets without Carlos Correa then and now were one of the best teams of baseball. This Mets lineup with one of the better hitters in baseball would have become better. Like, that's not, I'm not saying anything crazy here. And then just going from that high point, hilariously, recording an episode I'll never see the light of day. And then waking up on Christmas Eve and going all the way back down and seeing like, oh my God, hit a snag again. And then from there, dealing with the holidays, Christmas, New Year's, for those who celebrate, and being like, there's nothing. Complete radio silence from every single person involved here. No leaks on the Mets side, no leaks on Boris's side, just complete silence the whole way. And we're sitting here like, oh my God, like how, like what's going on right now? Like, this is unbelievable. Like, we haven't seen anything like this ever in this sport. And then to go through the last week where now like, the little things started dropping everywhere, a little hint, little hint, little hint, little hint. And we're sitting here and we know, we're watching it all. And it's just this waiting and waiting and waiting for a final resolution. And like, we've seen a lot of you guys on Twitter being like, I don't even care anymore. I just really want something to happen. Like, I just need to know yes or no. Like, we as Mets fans needed our lives back. And it created this kind of funny dynamic, I guess, just between, like, in all of Mets Twitter, like, all of Mets, even just between, like, Mark and I, even between all the people who work on this podcast, you know, shout out Vito, who's out there producing right now. Like, this was such a crazy, unforeseen event in terms of an MLB baseball free agent. And the fact that we were in the middle of it just adds so much to what's been, like, a ridiculous year and a half of this organization.
The crazy thing is, in that unreleased episode that we had where we were so excited about what it could have been, you said one thing that stuck out in particular, and you're like, it doesn't feel real. Like, it doesn't feel real that this could be happening. And unfortunately, those words came true. Like, again, we are definitely, I think, some of the more level-headed Mets fans that are out there, and that probably drives some people absolutely crazy that we don't scream and yell, that we're not, like, gloom and doom and stuff. But in all honesty, like, it's such not that feeling right now. It's just more so of, like, you know, a punch in the stomach because you thought you had something that you no longer have. But in all honesty, you did never had it. He was never on this team. He was never signed to a contract, any of that kind of stuff. So it's a very weird feeling of what's going on here because you thought for a long time that you had one of the best players in baseball on your team. But like you said, at the end of the day, the Mets are still one of the best.
Not even a long time. It was 2.5 weeks. It wasn't a long time.
I mean, it
was a little bit longer than the Giants thought they had, but
felt like forever. It felt like forever that, you know, we've been waiting for this answer. And for those of you who keep tabs on the podcast, you have noticed during this time we have not put out a lot of content. And I think you can understand why. Because, I mean, look at what was going on with this whole negotiation stuff, like back and forth. This team's in, Mets are in. Like, everything that was going on with this was absolute chaos. And as much as we would have loved to have covered it every single step of the way, you got to, you know, also understand what's going on here with us and being the official podcast of the Mets, there's just certain things that you can and cannot do. But I mean, based on what happened, it's a very weird feeling. And maybe it's me trying to cope. Maybe it's me, but like, we're going to be okay.
I mean, we're inhaling the copium right now at a record pace. Like, I made a meme comparing Carlos Correa to Anthony Rendon. Like, I don't know. You could glean from that what you will. Mark's made three different YouTube videos of Carlos Correa signing with three different teams. Like, and they all have three very different tones. Like, we're gonna do what we can. It's such a weird mix of emotions that we've had to deal with here, especially because, again, like, this team was really good before this happened, and this would have just been like that. Like that punch in the mouth to the rest of the league. And that would have been cool. But now this is still a team that is incredibly, incredibly talented, incredibly deep, has an incredible amount of potential. Like, even if you look at last year's stats, a lot of people are still like poking at the Mets lineup right now. Last year, in terms of WRC plus, weighted runs created plus, which is not a perfect stat, especially because it uses the stadium that a team plays in, and it equates it to like average for the rest of the league. And since the Mets play their home games in Citi Field, that's one of the harder parks to hit in baseball. It'll inflate their WRC plus over the season, but they were still third best in that in runs created in a neutral environment. Even in terms of power stats, somewhere that people thought the Mets really struggled last year, they were 15th and 16th in home runs and isolated slugging percentage. Isolated slugging percentage is if you take a team's slugging percentage and subtract their batting average. So it's just a measure of their extra base hits this year. And that bumps the Mets up because the Mets had a higher batting average than most of the league last year. But even still, just their isolated slugging percentage was basically right there, league average. So even without Carlos Correa, this team still has a very potent lineup and a lineup very, very capable of beating anybody any given day in Major League Baseball.
I mean, I'll also take the stance of, you know, he's not a make or break player either for this team or for the team that he's now on, the Minnesota Twins. They were bad last year and he was a vital cog of that offense, their best player, arguably. Like, would have been great, but like you said, there were a lot of good things that this team did. And I mean, this opens the door now for that more playing time for Brett Beatty, which is something that I think a lot of Mets fans are super excited about. Just the fact that this young prospect, who was a first round pick a couple years ago by the New York Mets, we saw some glimpses of him last year. Maybe he wasn't fully 100% prepared last season, but now with a major league experience underneath his belt, the fact that he kind of, I think, knows what his role is going to be more realistically on this team, he's going to be a little bit more comfortable. It opens the door for him. And I mean, he's been great in the minors, and all the minor league prospect guys have a lot of great things to say about Brett Beatty. So, I mean, copium again, you guys hear that word over and over again, the internet meme, but this opens the door for Brett Beatty to maybe take over and be that guy that we could use. Or Eduardo Escobar played well at times last year too. He had some big moments with this team. Like, it's weird to talk about a guy that technically was never a part of this team and losing him. But at the, in the same regards, like that's kind of how it is.
I mean, major copium, but Brett Baithy, power and on base percentage. Eduardo Escobar is a solid all around player who's a much better hitter from the right side, plays usually decent defense, 5% better in league average last year. That sounds like two guys between a lefty and someone who's much better righty could cover a position very well over the course of a season. I know the tweet I had more copium today. I said the Astros, who everybody I think would agree are probably the smartest team in the whole league, right? They just won the World Series. Like that's not nothing crazy to say. Just last offseason, they let Carlos Correa walk. It doesn't seem like they even very seriously offered them a contract. Their replacement for him won the World Series MVP. I don't know. He was, what, a 24, 25-year-old rookie? This sounds familiar. I don't know. Maybe you think I'm grasping at straws here, but this isn't... I don't know. It's very hard to track the feelings of Mets fans right now, and I asked Mets fans on Twitter today, like, let me know how you're feeling. And the answers I got were such a wide range of emotions that really
same
encapsulates what's going on right now. Someone was like, I don't care. Some people were like, I'm sad. Some people were like, I'm happy. Some people are like, it's okay. Some people are like, it sucks. Darren, our boy, UK Mets, Darren Ferguson said, I'm upset because I already ordered his jersey, which I feel for Darren in that sense right there. That's probably a lesson to be learned for all of us. A lot of people say it's okay, or the lineup is still good. Someone's like, okay, but now we can go get a bigger fish later on. It's so funny to be able to have this like line to Mets fans and see how different people are feeling when the same exact thing happened. The same event is causing all these different little runs of emotion. It's pretty amazing to watch.
The two coasts were hit by Carlos Correa and it ends up going to the Midwest out in Minnesota and they'll be very happy and fine with it. It's just like, I mean, even my tweet where I tweeted out, you know, if the Mets sign Carlos Correa, if you follow me and retweet, I'm going to give away a sign or a Carlos Correa jersey to somebody. People are like, pick the winner. I'm like, I'm waiting till this is official. We just saw a team not be able to get it done with him because of stuff. Like I'm going to wait a little bit here. Ended up being right. I wish I was wrong. Would have been great, but I don't know. I think, you know, again, we haven't been able to talk about Carlos Correa on this podcast. We're going to use this time to do so. But once we're done here, we got to move on. We got to move on for Carlos Correa because he's not going to be a part of this team. He's going to be a part of the Minnesota Twins. We'll see them in Minnesota in September. So, you know, we'll see what's going on there. A lot of people are talking about when the Mets play the Rangers circle and that. Probably going to circle the Minnesota Twins series too out in September in Minnesota. It's going to be freezing probably out there. I don't know. It's a very, very weird feeling. Like, I'm in a glass case of emotion, to quote Will Ferrell, an Anchorman. That's exactly how I feel.
It's also just a good learning experience for all of us as baseball fans who spend a lot of time on social media, because we're proven time and time again that the people to trust are, besides our boy, are Jeff Passan and Ken Rosenthal. Like, we're out here listening to Jim Bowden and Steve Phillips and all these other people on Mets Twitter and all these other teams, little Twitter accounts, all these people with fake check marks. Shout out Mark. You have to just sit and wait for the real stuff because there's only a few people who we can really trust absolutely positively all the time. One, of course, is our boy who will remain nameless. You know who you are. You're listening right now. And also Passan and Rosenthal. Like, that's it.
Well, think about the Venn diagram of one, New York Mets fans just in general and college football. It doesn't mix well. We know in the last episode, we talked about college football for the last 30 minutes. People got mad. I get it. You wanted to hear us talk about Carlos Correa. We couldn't get over it. But we also know that the New York fan base does not give a damn about college football. There's no college football around here. I'm sorry, Rutgers, not to be disrespectful to you guys, but there's no college football around here. There's no college football culture. So the fact that someone thought, Steve Phillips or whatever, thought that the Venn diagram of the people that are watching college football, that includes Georgia fans and TCU fans, Atlanta Braves fans, and Texas, the Mets would wait to announce this because the national championship was on. Like, I mean, like you said, I think if we learn anything, patience is key. Patience is important. Don't always trust what you see. Don't always trust what you hear. It's not always as it appears. I mean, you just gotta wait. It's another lesson in social media and news and who to trust and who not. And I think we've cleaned up our list even more so than we had in the past of reliable sources and whatnot.
Think about Giants fans right now, San Francisco Giants fans. They thought they had Carlos Correa like a month ago. And this has been down to two different teams since then. And lost, what, $150 million in the process? It's unbelievable to think about this saga and how it's gone on. How simple and straightforward free agency was at the beginning. It was just like signing. And now it's completely, every single guy went off the board except for Carlos Correa. And now this incredibly long, drawn-out process. And now it's just the dust has finally settled by the time you guys are listening to this, and we all have to move forward because pitchers and catchers are reporting in only about a month, like 35, 38 days, which is unbelievably close. We're in January. This is as low as the baseball point season ever gets, and it's only going to go up from here in terms of excitement, in terms of stories, in terms of news. It's about to get crazy, and there's probably a couple more moves that could be made. Nothing crazy. I know there were a lot of people on Twitter being like, what's the next big one? Probably isn't right now. It doesn't really seem like that anything is in the forefront at all. Like, I can't even, if I had to think about every single roster in baseball, who the highest profile guy who could be moved even is. Brian Reynolds, maybe, but will not be to the Mets. Probably not, because there's no real need. And the price also seems to be astronomically high based on the information that we get as fans. So don't really hold your breath, Mets fans, for this like bang, 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 this crazy thing. Maybe there could be another bench bat signing, a guy like Jerickson Profar, a guy like Tommy Pham, get ourselves a real fourth outfielder. There's always more relievers that are going to be out there. Favorite of the show, Julian Merriweather from the Toronto Blue Jays, was DFA'd today as we went into the recording here. That's a guy who I would want to bring into the building immediately. Just let Jeremy Hefner just sprinkle his magic dust on him, get a new lights out back into the bullpen guy. It's we have to come down off this high right now and jump back into reality and look at this team, look at this roster, look where we're at, and get ready for the season.
Mets fans, we need a little heat check. You know, we were starting to think, you know, our stuff don't stink, and it was completely reasonable. And I still think we should be up on our high horse. I still think we should be high and excited and all that kind of stuff, but we need a little heat check. This was the heat check. It's all right. I think I'm also going to do a little more copium, my last copium, and then I'll stop talking about it here. How amazing is it that the owner of the New York Mets, this front office, was willing to spend $300 when they were already over the luxury tax? That was something that was possibly going to happen. That's something that we haven't seen ever with the New York Mets, really, or really any teams in baseball spending that kind of money. So that alone is at least a sign, if you're a Mets fan who's really, really upset, that's a sign of, oh, wow, okay, so there's clearly a plan. There's clearly a process in place. Mets are trying to win as long as it makes sense. They don't really seem to care about the price tag. That, to me, is... that's really cool. And if I'm going to be, you know, I don't know what the right word is here. I'm not great with the vocabulary sometimes, but that to me is really, that's a good sign. It's cool. A good sign. Yeah, cool.
It's a cool thing. And it's just, it's the fact that we also know as an organization, as fans, that it's never done. You know what I mean? It's never complete. The concept of building a roster and building a championship caliber team, it's never finished. And the fact that that is something that's shared completely, it's by everybody involved in here from top to bottom, is something that's comforting and something that we, at least if we have to, I hate trying to like get a silver lining from this, but something you can hang your hats on. Like it's never going to, we're never, you know what I mean? It's not going to be over until it's over. And even if it's over, it's probably still something else you could really do and get after it one more time. And that's something that almost no other team in baseball can boast. Almost no other team in organized sports can boast. And the fact that we can always be able to think that there could be something else that's happening. But like we just said, logically, probably in the next 6 weeks, I wouldn't expect that. But just in the future, in the way we're moving forward with this organization, the way it's being built, the way this team is now operating, we know that that is true and a fact and something that's really cool.
100%. Good baseball team at the end of the day for the Mets, with or without Carlos Correa. Obviously now it's without. Still a very, very good team. A lot of good stuff happening this offseason. I mean, we saw some projections that came out too, and they were giving Kodai Senga great projections. Justin Verlander, Scherzer, all these guys. Like, what was it? Zips, was that who came out with it? Or Steamer? Which one was it?
Yeah, it was Zips. Steamer's out, but Steamer doesn't have any of the international players that come over this year. But Zips, which is another Fangraphs projection system, gave the Mets, even because they didn't include Carlos Correa in their system, they said this is one of the best, the most talented teams in baseball. And Mark and I were even just talking yesterday on Discord, hanging out, and we were looking around the National League. It's really just us in the East. It's just going to be a dogfight between these three teams, the Mets, the Braves, and the Phillies. The Dodgers, while they're still, you'll never count them out, their roster looks significantly weaker right now than it did a year, 2 years ago by a lot. The Padres have an unbelievable team, but we always know that they find some way to screw something up. They don't use enough numbers there. So we definitely will have that over them, which they got us in the playoffs last year, but this division is the battle right now. And it's three teams are pretty evenly matched. They each have different strengths, different weaknesses. And we just got to go get them. And this team does have improvements over last year still that people, you know, that we have to like really realize and understand and appreciate, because we had for months a DH position that was completely useless. Is that too mean? A productionless?
I mean,
a DH spot that didn't have, nothing really came from it last year for a very long time. And now we're going to enter this season with a hitter in Daniel Vogelbach, who proved last year over a long sample that he was well above league average hitter at the DH spot. And we're going to have at least opportunities, probably, potentially, we don't know anything, given to Brett Bailey and Francisco Alvarez for a third base designated hitter. And there's going to be potential there for about three guys who project very, very well, better than the hitters that were on in those positions at this time last year to make this team better.
No, 100%. Pete Alonso like really looked so unbelievably good last year, where he's just simply one of the better power hitters in the entire game again. Like, that's exciting. Francisco Lindor had his big year, an MVP caliber-ish season in terms of value. Obviously, he didn't win the MVP. No one's saying that. But the idea is that he was that's exactly what we expected from Francisco Lindor when we got him. Brendan Nimmo looked great. Starling Marte looked great. Like, there's guys all around this team that shouldn't make you worried because we did not get Carlos Correa. This team is still very good, could get even better. Brett Beatty and Francisco Alvarez are two guys that could make huge impacts on this team. We've seen rookies do it before. They have the bats. You know, it's just getting a little bit of MLB experience underneath their belts, but they're good hitters. We've seen them show sparks. It's weird to be having this conversation now, because for the last month, it's been, you know, the opposite of what we were expecting to be playing third base, but I think, you know, through this therapy session, hopefully, of listening to this podcast, you guys feel better like we do as we talk more and more on it.
Definitely. And it also is just every Mets fan's had a weird month. So now bring everybody back, get ready, look at each other, look yourself in the mirror, look at the players we have together in this locker room, realize this is a championship caliber team, just get ready for the season.
It's almost like, Mercury's in retrograde? That's when like stuff's acting weird and everybody's a little bit off. They say it's in retrograde. I think it's now in grade, or whatever the normal form of Mercury is.
Mercury's been graded. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's just, it's stable. Whatever it is, it's stable. And I think we're going to be just fine. Just fine. I'm really excited for the baseball season. I can't wait. I'm itching for pitchers and catchers to get started up, like you said, 38 or 37 days, whatever it is. They can't come soon enough. We're both taking a vacation coming up here soon for the first time in a really long time. Going to play some golf in Florida. So if anybody has recommendations for good golf courses out in Florida that are not going to cost $250 to play, because me and my dad are not particularly good, and that would just be a waste of money to play at a super awesome golf course and shoot 120. But if you have recommendations for some cheaper golf courses, throw them my way on Twitter at GiraffeNeckMark. Would appreciate it. But I think, like you said, these next few weeks, kind of get back into the swing of things, relax, and get ready for the long baseball season that's inevitably coming.
Also, just another quick update, just to get something in here. It's the only time we're going to talk to you guys this week. We're starting to get a lot of the Hall of Fame ballots coming in, which I think is a fun thing to talk about for all baseball fans. As of right now, 38% of the ballots have been counted. Shout out Ryan Thibodeau. He's usually the guy who's on top of this, not Mr. Tibbs on Twitter. Right now, Scott Rowland, Todd Helton are in, with Billy Wagner, Andrew Jones very close behind.
Okay. Yeah.
Looks like someone who's not going to make it this time, but he's in a great spot, 58% in his first time on the ballot.
Yeah, I've been looking at the tracker. I've been seeing so many people filling out blank ballots, and that gets me really, really frustrated, because there are Hall of Famers on this list. I've come to the realization of, I don't really like arguing about the Hall of Fame too much, just because a lot of these guys, like, they put in the work. They had great careers. I don't like diminishing a guy's career, especially when they make it onto this. It feels really rude. I don't know. It feels like very personal, and I don't want it to be. But some of the votes that have been going out there have been absolutely, absolutely nuts. And the fact that there are guys that just consistently year after year put out blank ballot, blank ballot, blank ballot, we got to fix something with that. We spoke about it earlier in the offseason. The system is flawed. They need to fix it, because there's no way that Carlos Beltran should not be in the Hall of Fame first ballot. There's no way that Billy Wagner is like the most robbed guy on this list, outside of possible PED use and whatnot. But like, oh my God, it's crazy that like there's such gatekeeping for something that is supposed to be a hall to recognize the greats of baseball for the fans of baseball.
I just mentioned that briefly. You would do the whole rant on it.
It gets me mad, dude. It gets me so mad, because it's stupidity. It's dumb. Like, you're not that important. Your vote isn't like, who did the whole thing where he made like an entire like movie montage about,
oh, Verducci,
and like, yeah, filling it out with like a quill and a feather quill. Like, my God,
it was a video of himself opening the envelope and pondering and filling it out with like spiraling camera as he himself voiced it over and narrated. It was honestly an incredible piece of content. I'll never forget the rest of my life, and everyone should go take a look at it right now. I'm sure you can find it on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, just like the places you could find this podcast.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's a perfect way for us to kind of bring an end to this short, quick episode. But we told you, as soon as, you know, that who shall be not be named, Voldemort gets mentioned or whatever, as soon as that news breaks, we will have it for you. And we came through with that promise. I know we've been a little bit slow this offseason, but we're going to be back on that regular schedule. We have some great interviews lined up for you guys. Not going to tell you the names just yet, maybe a little surprise for you, but some really, really good stuff coming up. And we just get to focus on the 2023 season now. The Carlos Correa saga is over. He'll be in Minnesota. Go have fun over there. It's going to be freezing for like 9 months of the year. And Mets are going to still be good. We're going to be fine. So yeah, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Make sure you follow us on all our social media at MetsUp on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Subscribe to the Mets YouTube channel so you don't miss out on the video version of this. And if you're listening to us, which is important, make sure you're listening. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, anywhere you get your podcast, drop us a rating. Drop us a review. Haven't seen reviews in a while. I know it's the winter, so everyone's kind of taking time off. I want to see at least one review on there. So drop us a review, download, subscribe, all that stuff. Follow James on Twitter at
James_Shiano.
And me at GiraffeNeckMark with a C. Thank you guys for listening and watching. And we'll catch you next week, probably, for another episode of the Messed Up Podcast. Peace out. Get up. Get up. Get up.